Have you ever felt homesick for loved ones? Paul certainly did. He longed to see his friends in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 2, we see Paul's deep desire to reconnect. He says, "Since we were torn away from you, we endeavored the more eagerly to see you face to face." Paul had been forced to leave Thessalonica for his safety, but his heart never left them. Today, Stephen explores Paul's heartfelt message to his beloved friends.
Have you ever been separated from a loved one for an extended period of time? Perhaps it was a spouse who was deployed in the military overseas, or maybe it was a child who was away at a university. I remember when our oldest daughter served in the country of Chile for a few years as a missionary to children. We couldn't wait to hear from her and get caught up on all the news of her life and ministry there among those children. Perhaps you're a grandparent and those grandchildren live a long way away from you. They don't exactly understand why they can't see you more often, and you would love to see them more often as well. That reminds me of a little 4-year-old boy who was asked by his teacher where his grandmother lived, and he said, "She lives at the airport." And the teacher asked, "Why do you think she lives at the airport?" And he said, "Well, because when we want her, we go there to get her, and when we're done with her, we take her back." Well, if you've experienced missing a loved one, then you have a pretty good idea how the Apostle Paul feels toward his friends here in the town of Thessalonica. He's writing them a letter while serving the Lord in Corinth. He's about 200 miles away. He knows that his Christian friends in Thessalonica are facing difficult times. And as we arrive now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you can't help but notice how homesick Paul is to see his friends again. He writes here in verse 17, "Since we were torn away from you, brothers, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face." Now, you might remember, beloved, that Paul had been forced to leave Thessalonica sometime earlier. He had actually been sent away by the believers there for his own safety. There was a price on his head, and he couldn't stay. Ever since his departure, though, he's wanted to come back and visit them again. But he adds here this interesting statement in verse 18, "Satan hindered us." Now, we don't know what form this hindrance took, though it was probably some obstacle created by people who were opposing Paul's ministry. Well, Paul considered them tools of Satan. They were getting in the way. They were hindering his ministry. That ought to tell us that Paul's ministry among them was significant. Let me tell you, beloved, the devil never bothers with an insignificant life, or for that matter, an insignificant ministry. Now, Satan's not omnipresent. Frankly, he doesn't have enough demons to go around and bother every church and every Christian. But he is on the lookout for someone to devour, to discredit, and he's looking especially for someone with influence or potential. If you feel like he's been bothering you lately, that's a sign that you might be having significant spiritual ministry in the lives of other people. Paul obviously saw the great significance and potential in these Thessalonian believers because he refers to them here in verse 19 as our joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming. Well, Paul is simply longing to see them again. They bring joy to his heart. It leads us to understand Timothy's mission among them. Now, as we come to chapter 3, Paul writes here in verses 1 and 2 that while he was still over there in Athens, he and Silas had sent Timothy to Thessalonica, he writes, to establish and exhort them in the faith. The word for establish means to provide strengthening support, and the word exhort means to encourage their faith. The word faith here refers to both belief and conduct. So here's Timothy's mission among them. It's to make sure they knew what to believe and how to behave, to encourage them to behave in accordance with their belief. Timothy was sent to make sure, verse 3, that no one is moved by these afflictions. Now, we're not told the exact nature of these afflictions, but whatever they were, they could potentially lead to discouragement and perhaps even compromise in order to escape suffering. But with that, Paul makes a statement here that I find incredibly encouraging. Instead of telling them that their suffering was temporary, it wasn't going to last that long, or that God never intended them to suffer, which wouldn't be true, he writes to them and to us here in verses 3 and 4. For you yourselves know that we are destined for affliction. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass. Well, here's a lesson for us all, beloved. Suffering in life should never take us by surprise. Suffering should be our expectation. And Paul says to the genuine Christian then and now who wants to walk with Christ, here it is, you are destined for affliction. I hear preachers all the time today telling Christians that their destiny is a promotion. And Paul is telling Christians that their destiny is persecution. And I believe Paul is telling the truth. Well, by the time Paul was writing this letter to the Thessalonians, he'd received Timothy's report on how they were doing. Paul had been homesick for them, longing to hear some news about their lives, concerned that they might be wavering in their faith under affliction. So he couldn't have been more relieved when he received this update from Timothy. He writes here in verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, in all our distress and affliction, we've been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live since you are standing fast in the Lord." It's almost as if Paul was writing this letter and then got interrupted by Timothy's return in this report. I love this little phrase here where he says this. He says about this good news, "For now we live." The Thessalonian Christians have just sort of brought new life to the hearts of Paul and Silas and Timothy. One author explains that this phrase means they were refreshed, they were rejuvenated, they were energized because that heavy burden of concern for them was lifted. But maybe you felt the same way when you got that letter or phone call from your loved one. You'd been worried. You were anxious about their safety, maybe concerned about their spiritual growth. But then you received news that they were doing well, walking with the Lord. And what did that do? Well, that just put a bounce back in your step. That put fresh joy back in your heart. And by the way, here's something you ought to remember. When you stand strong in your faith, especially in the midst of affliction, you not only please the Lord, but you also encourage other believers who know you, who are watching you, respond faithfully to the Lord. And let me tell you, as a pastor, you encourage those who serve you and pray for you and counsel you and teach you regularly. I've often told other believers that because of their faithful lives, they encouraged me more than they could ever possibly know. Well, now in these last three verses here in chapter 3, we're given Paul's prayer. Actually, it's the prayer of Paul and Silas and Timothy. There are three prayer requests mentioned here. First, in verses 10 and 11, there's a request for God to allow them to go back to Thessalonica. Satan's been getting in the way, as Paul wrote earlier, so Paul is effectively praying that God will just push that old devil out of the way. Well, here's the second request, verse 12. "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you." The Thessalonians in the church here loved each other, but Paul is praying that their love will increase and abound. This distinguishing characteristic, by the way, among Christians has a powerful impact on the world today. And that's because every person out there in the world today naturally loves themselves. But the church is a community of believers who demonstrate love for one another. Well, now this third prayer request looks to the future. Paul asks the Lord here in verse 13 to keep the Christians in Thessalonica blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The coming of the Lord Jesus is another reference to the rapture of the church. And when it takes place, Paul is praying that these believers will be living faithfully for Christ. Paul might be homesick for his friends, but more than anything, he wants them to be ready when the Lord comes to take them home to be with him in heaven. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Paul longed to see his Thessalonian friends, but more importantly, he prayed for their faith. He encouraged them to stand firm amidst afflictions, knowing their faith brought joy to others. Paul's prayers focused on their love increasing and their holiness before God. Just like Paul, you can encourage others through your faith and prayers today. Are you hungry for more in-depth Bible study? Are you eager to explore the depths of God's Word? Then I invite you to visit wisdomonline.org. Our website is your gateway to a treasure trove of resources, all designed to enrich your spiritual journey. You'll find Stephen's complete Bible teaching ministry, spanning over 4 decades. That's hundreds of sermons, carefully organized by Book of the Bible. Want to delve into Romans, Genesis, Ecclesiastes? Simply click and explore. You can listen to or read each message at your own pace, anytime, anywhere. But there's more. If you ever miss one of our daily broadcasts, you can replay it. You can catch up on the latest lessons right on our homepage. We also archive previous broadcasts, so you can revisit past teachings or explore topics you might have missed. And the best part, all of this valuable content is available to you absolutely free. We simply want to bless and encourage you as we share the life-changing power of God's Word. So, either on your computer or smartphone, navigate to wisdomonline.org today. We're convinced that God will use the resources you find there to help you know what the Bible says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life. And don't forget what Stephen said today. Your faithfulness can uplift those who watch your life. So keep living for Christ and encouraging each other. That's all for today, but join us next time to continue your wisdom journey.